and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. And welcome to episode 185, the Get Your Big Star On episode. This is not the Big Star Quilt, which I made about a year ago. Right about this time, it's spring break for my guys. This is, by the way, Monday, March 14th, 2016, first day of spring break for Jack and Will. And last year, I was working on the Big Star Quilt. This year, it's the VFW Star Quilt. That's Victoria Finley Wolf Star, because I'm using made fabric in the stars of the quilt. And the back is a star. Just, I went with one star because it is a pretty big star, and the star is composed entirely of made fabric, which is very fun to do. It's very time consuming to do the made fabric, but I enjoy it. It involves a lot of pressing, which I kind of enjoy. The one thing, and I need to go back to Victoria's book, 15 Minutes of Play, and read what she has to say about dealing with the seams, because you can, the seams really start to pile up if you are sewing together lots of little bitty pieces. In any event, I now have a back and a front, and I bought some batting, so all that is left to do is quilt the quilt, and I don't know how I'm going to do that yet. I'm going to study on it. I'm going to study on it. I don't know what color thread. With binding, you know, Noni and Sherry suggested black, but I think that's because they were reading the big background fabric as being black when it's actually navy blue. But, you know, I'm sitting across the table from it right now, and it actually looks very black. But that's my guess, is they were saying match that color. And I might. That sort of solves a lot of problems, although it's very tempting to do like a lime green or an orange. I may mess around a little bit and think about it. I haven't made the binding yet. It's just too bad, because I really love having the binding made at this point, instead of it being a last minute, like, oh man, I still have to make the binding kind of thing. So we're going to get on with the program here in just a second. I wanted to know if you got in the mail, maybe I am a subscriber to Quilter's newsletter, and they sent me today a DVD called Inspire, Design, Create. It's part of their new quilting DVD collection. It's actually from McCall's Quilting, and the DVD is full of inspiring ideas for creating classic quilts. Well, here's the thing. I didn't ask for this, so this is my risk-free preview. If I don't want it, I'm to send it back, and they do include an envelope with no postage paid necessary. And they make a big deal, they say, in bold print, because you didn't ask for this special DVD, you don't have to participate or send it back, and you can consider it a free gift. All gifts are free, just saying. Let's watch the language. We live at the level of our language. A gift is free, you don't need to call it free. Any event. So, you know, so now I've got this quandary. I don't want this DVD. I don't feel like I should have to send it back, but I don't want to, you know, what am I going to do with it here if I don't want it? But I just feel like, a lot of people who get this are going to be confused and feel like they, you know, that somehow if they don't send it back, even though it's bold print, it says you don't have to, but if they don't send it back, then they're going to automatically be enrolled in this. I don't know. I don't like being sent stuff I didn't ask to be sent. I'm sorry. I just don't. And you know, kids, cover your ears, but I don't need any more crap in my life. So I'm against this particular promotion. So if you are listening and you are part of McCall's Quilting or part of the Quilter's newsletter kind of big marketing plan, idea, publicity staff, I'm sure that is the actual name of their marketing staff, don't do this anymore. Don't send me any junk. I am not pleased. Okay, well, I have got plenty of several quilt diaries. There's a lot, and I think if I talk too much right now, it'll be over an hour, and I don't want to go over an hour. Under an hour is good. Under an hour is good. So, enough rambling, enough complaining. Let's just get on with the quilt diaries. Quilt diary day one. It's Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. Oh my goodness, it's like spring outside here. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't know. I don't really have any commentary about the weather whatsoever, good or bad. A little on the warm side, though, just saying. Okay, I've got to tell you, the fabulous Gloria, a quilter and a twilter and a podcast listener, posted a picture of herself and the most marvelous Victoria Finley Wolf. They are at Empty Spools. Gloria tagged me in the picture. She said, "Frances, look, she remembered you," meaning Victoria. Victoria. I'm not sure why she remembered me, maybe from our recent email exchange where we established a fast and firm friendship, or just maybe all these people going up to her at quilting conventions and saying, "Can I take a picture of you for my friend Frances?" So, yes, she writes, "She remembered you." And that's Victoria to me and Victoria Finley Wolf to you. Oh, Gloria. That just made me laugh when I read that. And in fact, I laughed so much I thought, I really need to tell my friend Annie. That's Annie Smith to you. Yeah. About this very funny thing that just happened. No, that just cracked me up. But Gloria said lower in her in another comment in response to my comment that a number of her friends took a class, took the double wedding ring class with Victoria and says she was fabulous. And that's everything I've heard is that she's a great teacher and a lovely human being. So yay, yay, that just made me happy. I wanted to start out today's diary. I want to read you some stories, some of them sort of sad, from the Michigan Quilts book. This is Michigan Quilts, 150 Years of a Textile Tradition, edited by Marcia McDowell and Ruth Fitzgerald. And my first story is about a quilt. It's an eight-pointed star made in 1898. Its maker, Mary Elizabeth Fredericks Courser. The story goes like this. Mary Elizabeth, Lizzie Courser, and her husband, Herbert, were devout churchgoers who took their two small children to worship in a horse-drawn buggy one Christmas Eve, even though Anna, age 8, had a cold. Shortly after, the cold turned into pneumonia, and Anna died. Mary Elizabeth's granddaughter, Marjorie Benedict, heard this story from her mother. Grandma used pieces of her dresses to make the star quilt. Christmas Eve was cold and blizzardy, and they knew it was hazardous. When their daughter got worse and died, they were always bitter because God could let such an awful thing happen to his children. They never went to church again. Isn't that sad? Isn't that poignant? And I believe when the daughter says grandmother made a quilt out of her dresses, she's referring to the daughter's dresses, not her own. Okay, here's another one. Margaret A. Hudson. Born 1867, died 1912. It's a crazy quilt. Estimating that Margaret A. Hudson made more than 75 quilts, her daughter, Marguerite Gorky, also remembers that her mother made templates and patterns from cardboard or paper and worked at a wooden quilting frame set up in the parlor or living room. In a letter dated March 26, 1987, Gorky provided this information on her family. This is the wedding picture of Julius P. and Margaret A. Lawson Hudson, November 16, 1901. And by the way, the picture is adorable. Margaret A. Hudson, sort of imagine Daisy in Downton Abbey. That's the whole, she looks about that same age and she actually looks like Daisy. They met at a lumber camp near the Sheboygan River where she was a cook. They had each lost their spouses in 1901. She was working at the camp because she could have her three children, one girl and two boys, there with her. He had four children, three girls and one boy. His last two were born in the house that he had built on a small farm which he owned. That was also in Sheboygan County, on another part of the Sheboygan River. Aside, I really like saying Sheboygan. Julius and Margaret and their combined family of seven children lived in that house. Together they had two more children, two girls. The quilt was probably started in 1905 or 1906. The top was finished in 1908, containing the names of the eight children, 2 years before the youngest was born. So her name, Alice, as she was called, and date, 1910, were added to a center block near the bottom. The story is told that during a forest fire in the area, the family went to a neighbor's house that was farthest from the fire. The youngest child, who was 4 or 5 at the time, took the quilt top and carried it to safety. I was that child, Marguerite Alice. I love a good family story. That is a lot of children. That is a big Brady Bunch story right there. And quite frankly, A, I'm amazed that Margaret had time to make a quilt, but B, not surprised it's a crazy quilt, because really, talk about like just kind of, yeah, I'm just putting this together and it's going to take a couple years. And I mean, it doesn't actually look slapdash. I have mixed feelings about crazy quilts. Initially, I liked them quite a bit. I like collage. I like improvisation a lot. But you know, the eye can get tired of things. But this one is a really actually a lovely crazy quilt. Maybe I'll take a picture of it. I don't know if that will work. We'll try. But it's very pretty. It has really nice colors. It's actually amazing, given that it was made in 1905 or 1906, how the colors have held pretty well. So anyway, I loved that story and the quilt being saved. Just, I don't know. Good storytelling, a good quilt. I just turned the page, and now I'm seeing some crazy quilts where I'm going, eh. You know, I think part of it, too, is that Margaret's quilt, while a crazy quilt, it's got some dark colors. It's got what looks to be black and some dark brown, but it also has some really nice reds, and it's not quite mauve, like a deep, dusty pink, and it's not as dark as some crazy quilts. And I just turned the page, and then here's a crazy quilt, one that looks just kind of uninterestingly crazy, and also is really just black and brown mostly. So that I'm less crazy about that sort of crazy quilt. All right, one more story. So the quilt here is a snowflake, grandmother's snowflake quilt. It's an original design. Again, I'd love to get a picture for you because it's really cool looking. It's the background is kind of a deep orange, and there are six snowflakes, two per row. And they must be applique, but they almost look like cut paper. I mean, I know they're not. I know they're fabric. But if you imagine that look, that's what they look like. Anyway, so Sarah E. White Whitney, born 1846, died 1926. This quilt was made in 1918-1919. At the time of her death in 1926, Sarah E. White Whitney had made more than 100 quilts, married in 1859, at the age of 13, and mother of 8 children, she lived all of her married life on a farm 5 miles north of Breckenridge, Michigan. Whitney traveled to visit a friend in Detroit in 1919, and while there, she entered her prize quilt in the Michigan State Fair, where she was awarded a blue ribbon. Whitney later sewed that ribbon onto the center of the quilt. Oh, and there it is. I just looked at the picture. I think my eye had not consciously registered the blue ribbon. The picture just looks like actually looks black, and it looks like a black piece of duct tape has been taped in the center. All right, I'm going to take pictures of these. But I think because my eye couldn't figure out what the heck was going on with it, I sort of ignored it. But yeah, there it is. Anyway, so Whitney later sewed that ribbon onto the center of the quilt. The quilt was given to her daughter, Caroline Whitney Hurling. When Aunt Carrie was breaking up her household in 1951, Sybil Miser, Whitney's great-granddaughter, purchased the quilt for $15. Miser told this story of the origin of Grandmother's Snowflake Quilt. "We were always told by Mother and Grandmother that one day a peddler, a man who went from house to house selling items to the country folk, stopped at Great-Grandma's house. Every time he stopped, she was making a quilt, and this time he said, 'Mrs. Whitney, do you want a new quilt pattern?' She told him yes. He went across the road, and when he came back, he had a piece of brown wrapping paper. In those days, meat and cheeses were always wrapped in brown paper and tied with a string for the customer. Anyway, he was folding the brown paper over and over and then began tearing out pieces. We used to do this to make a snowflake in school. When he got through, he handed it to Grandma and said, 'Here's your pattern.' And they said when he went through the next time, she had the quilt completed." Miser's sister, Loma Viola Darling Tippin, who quilted the First Lady's Bicentennial Quilt included in this volume, also told the story about Grandmother's Snowflake Quilt. Isn't that fabulous? I just love that. I love these stories. I love all these names these women carry around with them. I've always felt like Frances O'Rourke Dow was a bit unwieldy, but nothing beats Loma Viola Darling Tippin. that's actually quite nice. I like it. Anyway, I thought this was our quilting bicentennial minute. Are you old enough to remember bicentennial minutes that were on TV in 1976? I am. So let me update you where I am. I hope by the time this podcast posts, which I think is Monday, I'm really hoping I will have made some more progress on the backing of my VFW. That's right, my Victoria Finley Wolf. Mm-hmm. That's Victoria to Gloria. Oh, that's fun to say. That was fun to say. Anyway, I'm hoping the VFW, that I will have made progress on the back. So I have I am starting to work on the stars. I have enough made fabric, I think. But you know the great thing about made fabric? You can make more. And I think I know what I'm doing, but here's the funny thing. So I got my order from Fat Quarter Shop. I love Fat Quarter Shop. I should ask them to advertise. I mentioned them a lot because I love them. I ordered some American brand cotton fabric from them, periwinkle blue. Love periwinkle. Look fabulous in periwinkle. And I can't remember. I ordered 3 or 4 yards. And one of the things I love about Fat Quarter Shop is they do such a nice job of packaging. And in fact, it's so nice that you kind of hate to unpackage it because, you know, first of all, when you order 3 or 4 yards of fabric, it's going to take some taming. I think probably when I get it out of this package, which I have not done yet, I'll probably throw it in the dryer with a wet cloth and hopefully steam out some of the folds. And then, but yes, it's just the very idea of having to take it out of the package and deal with all that fabric. I'm like, also, yes, I'm hoping, my plan is, I'm hoping that I will be at a place on Saturday, today's Wednesday, on Saturday to be able to devote my morning to the project. Right now, I'm just busy with lots of writing projects, all good. I'm very happy with the work I'm doing right now. But by the time 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock rolls around and I can really kind of devote myself to quilting, yeah, for some reason at that point, it's like, oh, I don't have to deal with this fabric right now. And also because I don't quite know what I'm doing with the stars. I have an idea. I think I know what I'm doing, but I think that makes me a little hesitant to get started on it if I am not of, you know, sound mind, if I'm of a nappy mind. So I, yes, but that's where I am on that. I'm in the pondering, need to get the fabric out of the package stage. As far as the other quilt I'm working on, the donation quilt number 2, which is a red and white quilt. I think when we last spoke, I was trying to figure out, because it's like half of the blocks, and these are very simple. These are just squares, right? These are 4-patch squares. Half of them are just red and white, solid red. And so I was playing around with various red prints I had, and they just weren't working. And, you know, and red is one of those colors. There's all kinds of reds. And once you start dealing in red, you realize, boy, you know, there are many different shades of red out there. So some of it was that. So last week I went and I got, I think, maybe half yards of some other prints that were reds. And I brought the red and white, a red and white block with me. And also there was one print that was working, which was a pinkish red with polka dots, white polka dots. So I brought that with me and I picked out a couple other fabrics, I think 3, and just got half yards. And I think we would call these fabrics blender fabrics. And one of them works beautifully and the other I like a lot, but it actually is less blendy of the blendy of the blender fabrics. And I realized once I had actually finished like 6 blocks and put it up there that as much as I like it, I can't justify it. It actually is not working. Now that's okay because I can use those blocks on the back, and that's with this sort of quilting with just these 4 patches, you know, we can get real patchy with it and real scrappy with it, and that's fine. So nothing ever goes to waste. Those blocks will just go into other quilts or in the backing of this quilt. But it's one of those situations where, and I've talked about this with other quilts, we'll have, you know, I will have it up on the design board. I'll have the blocks up and I want the blocks to work. I want the pattern to work or the fabrics to work. And so I will come through the room sort of trying to surprise myself and surprise the design board and kind of squint all at once. And like, maybe this, if I squint and I tilt my head to the right and the lighting is just exact, it's 4:07 p.m. Maybe this is all going to come together and work because I want it to work. But, you know, it wasn't working. So I'm going to have to take that out. And I have a solution. I'm going to use one of the other blender fabrics that was working. It's going to be a quieter quilt. One of the things that I liked about the block that I'm going to take out is that I thought it was kind of zippy, you know, and I imagine these quilts going to children. And so I like that zippy factor, but I just can't do it. You know, I can't make myself put it together because it's not working. So I got Jenny Byers' hand quilting book. I'll put a link to it. You know, I'm sure it's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. And I've just started reading it, and I'm enjoying it. And I know there are lots of videos online. I have been told not to get, she has a DVD about hand piecing, and she may have more than one, but I've been told that it's not as good as other video of her that's available online. But I'm excited to have this book. And even though I'm still just doing very, very simple four-patch blocks, man, it's just, it is nice. I feel like, I don't know. It's nice. Reading the introduction to the Jenny Byers book, where she is saying, you know, the great thing about hand piecing is that you can do it watching TV, you can do it sitting with other people, and sometimes the machine keeps you from actually sitting down to quilt because you will almost by necessity be separating yourself. And I think that just that sometimes it's like let's face it, I usually want to be by myself, but there are sometimes I feel like I'd like to sit and watch TV and hang out with the man and what have you. And it's great to be able to piece. The one thing I was thinking about this morning was, you know, my saying, which is knitting is sitting and quilting is moving. Hand piecing is less moving. Although you still are moving back and forth to the iron. But one of the things that I do is actually stand and hand piece. I wish I could walk. I wish I could walk on my treadmill and hand piece. And maybe I will get there one day. Right now, little scary. Little scary of an idea. But if you've been thinking, huh, would I enjoy sewing by hand? You might. You might. I'm enjoying it a lot. So that is my update for now. I did want to tell you, I just started a book of stories. I'm still working on Under the Widened Starry Sky by Nancy Horan, or Horan, I'm not sure how you say it. And it's not the book's fault that I am still working on it 3 weeks into it. It is a long book. It's too long for book club, I have to say. It's too long for book club reading, unless you just have in my book club, God love them. I love these people. We've been together now for almost 14 years. Some of us, the core group has. There are new people who come in and change the dynamic a little bit. And mostly for good, but we do have a couple people. They never read the books, and then you don't feel like you can really discuss the book. You're like, no, go ahead and discuss the book. That's okay. Anyway, so I got it, Under the Widened Starry Sky, yesterday. I picked up the audiobook, and the reader is very good. So I'm hoping that between the audiobook and reading a little bit, and next week is the boys' spring break, which, you know, I still have work to do. It's not like I get to take the week off, but it does mean that I have a little bit more time in the morning to read, for instance. I don't have to get up and start driving people all over the place, and in the afternoon I don't have to like break up my day and go pick people up. So I'm hoping between that and the audiobook that I will finish Under the Widened Starry Sky by next Friday, and then I'll get there and no one else will have. But I have picked up a book of short stories. You know, I'm working on some quilting stories. More about that sometime in the near future. This book is called You Should Pity Us Instead. The writer is Amy Gustine, Gustine. These are, I've just read a couple of stories, and they're very good. This is not Happy Storyville. This is very contemporary in the way, and my guess is that the writer is on the youngish side, in part because it's her first book, and secondly, like so far, a lot of the characters are younger, or young mothers, or what have you. Anyway, a lot of young writers do traffic in kind of existential despair. So it's that's there. But having said that, I mean, and I get tired of that, right? I get tired of existential despair. I've experienced enough of that in my lifetime. I'm trying to move on. Having said that, I think the stories in You Should Pity Us, the ones I've read so far, are very, very good. So if you're interested in short stories, you could look it up. So, all right, that is what I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm sure I will be telling you more things soon. So bye for now. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Saturday, March 11th. March 12th. Sorry. First day of spring break for those of us who have spring break starting now, which my children do, or starting yesterday at 3:30. In any event, here we are. Quilt Diary. I wanted to share something with you, which is very cool. You know that a couple of weeks ago I posted a blog post called Some Thoughts on Judging the Modern Quilt. And the other day I got a comment on it from Jackie Gehring, who is the president of the Modern Quilt Guild and quite a well-known modern quilter. So that was thrilling in itself. But her comment was very interesting. She writes, Scott Merkin's comments about Melissa's quilt might be helpful in this context. It is also important to understand that many quilt shows do not use any certified judges at all. QuiltCon judge Scott Merkin says that Melissa shows an, quote, extreme confidence, end quote, with her materials, adding that the peak of gold behind the more workaday denim is a, quote, unquote, brilliant touch. Quote continues, she mixes materials that don't obviously go together to create new visual harmonies, Scott says. She has mastered scale, value, and rhythm to create a composition that keeps the viewer engaged, as well as coming back to visit the piece again. End of quote. So that is the comment that Jackie Gehring left, and it's really worth pondering. If you want to ponder it further, you can go to the blog post on my site, offkilterquilt.com. Again, the blog post was called Some Thoughts on Judging the Modern Quilt, but I think that gives us a little bit of insight into what the judges were looking at, what they found compelling about my brother's jeans, and why they selected it best of show. So I very much appreciate Jackie Gehring taking the time to comment, to leave that comment and give us that insight. Hooray! And also, of course, it was just thrilling to get a comment from Jackie Gehring. So it is Saturday, and I am, I actually just finished a draft of a new blog post that I'll tell you about in a second. And I'm in the process of piecing the back for the VFW, that is Victoria, not Virginia, Finley Wolf Star Quilt. After I talked the other day, I actually sat down and figured out the star and got it put together. If you're a twilter, you have seen a kind of weird picture of it. I don't know. If you've ever been to my blog for the podcast, you know I'm not the world's greatest photographer. I want to get better at that. Mostly I need to find better places to actually photograph my quilts. But sometimes, you know, light can be funky, and I use the iPhone. So, I think iPhone cameras are fabulous for what they can do, you know, but sometimes the colors are off. And so the picture I posted on the Twilters on Facebook, it's like the periwinkle background fabric looks gray, and the star itself kind of looks red and yellow instead of orange and pink. I don't know what's going on there. But still, it came out. I'm pleased. It ended up being a 24-inch block, so I'm just going to do one star. That's enough. It is a big star. And I did use the pattern that I used for the big star quilt last year, a very modified version of the big star quilt star. I just needed a star. I needed to figure out, how do I make this star? And, you know, and it's really, it's just flying geese, right? But, yeah, some the obvious does not occur to me with any regularity. Story of my life. Anyway, so what I'm going to do this afternoon is get the back pieced. If I have time, I will run over to Joanne's and use a coupon I have that's about to expire to buy some batting, because I don't think I have enough to make the quilt. Honestly, I'm thinking the quilt cake. the quilt sandwich. Although I really like the idea of quilt cake. I guess I'm thinking layer cake, but quilt cake, yum. Anyway, I may do that. I also, I should go lift weights. Those are my things, my Saturday things. But it would be fun to get the quilt sandwich made. I have no idea how I'm going to quilt this. I'm going to sit down and make some plans and maybe look at some of my books and perhaps even, this is crazy talk, but look at some of my Craftsy quilting videos. I have several, including Jackie Gehring's. And get some ideas. I would like to try something a little bit new and learn some new skills, etc., etc. Let me think. I have finished the first set of blocks for the red and white donation quilt, and so now I'm just in the process of piecing those into chunks. I'm chunking. Oh, that sounds something like you do on a Saturday morning after a big party. That's not what I mean. I am sewing blocks together and into bigger blocks. So that shouldn't take too long, and then I'll have another quilt to quilt. Although I'm doing for the donation quilts, well, I've only done one so far, and I did a very simple diagonal line crosshatch quilt. Very, very simple. And obviously I could use, who knows, maybe with this one, I'll mess around with it a little bit more. I guess I'm still thinking in terms of making quilts as not only donation quilts, but also as samples for this fictitious donation quilt group that I may or may not be forming at church. I assume I am. The one of the things is that the two of the core people are right now planning for a mission trip to Haiti in May, I believe. And, you know, so we're not going to get started with any kind of group before then, I don't think. So, who knows? I'm just going to keep making quilts because I really like it. And I'm enjoying, as I believe I talked about in the last quilt diary, I'm thoroughly enjoying the hand piecing. So the blog post I'm working on is about this is so interesting to me. It's about poses the question, why are quilters invisible in this culture? Which I think that unless you are at a big quilt convention or a guild meeting, I feel like we are. And where this comes from is a week or so ago, I was at a birthday lunch for a friend, and we went to the Nasher Museum, which is the Museum of Contemporary Art over on Duke University. It's very close to where I live. And Lisa arranged for a tour of the current new exhibit. And it was wonderful. You know, I'm not a big contemporary art person. And yet going on this tour was fabulous. The woman who took us on the tour, Jessica, just was so knowledgeable and was very friendly and down to earth. And you just made us look at the art in a way that actually, for me, it's like, oh, you know, there was, it actually made me like it or be interested in it and see things that I wouldn't have seen on my own. So that was lovely and exciting. And then we had lunch, and the Nasher has a really nice cafe that I enjoy quite a bit. So we had lunch, and it was a group maybe of, let's say, 10 women. And I knew a few, but there were a number I didn't know, and that's who I was sitting with these women I didn't know, and we had a nice time chatting. And, you know, I mentioned at some point that I make quilts. And I think it came up in the context of Uncle Eli's quilting party, which is coming up in a few weeks. And one of the women I was sitting next to is from, was born in Graham. She lives in Burlington now, but she grew up in Graham, North Carolina. And that's where Uncle Eli's quilting party is. The Eli Whitney community is a small community within Graham. And so I asked her if she'd heard of it, and she said, oh, I remember that. She said, now, is that still going on? And I said, oh, sure. And, you know, and she was a little bit like, well, do people actually go? I'm like, yeah, a lot of people. I was like, people come from all over the state. But, you know, I ended up doing my whole, you know, quilters exist thing. You know, there are 60 million quilters in this country, and you know, that means one in every 20 Americans makes quilts actively, and but it's a $3 billion a year industry, da da da, the usual stuff that you say. And you know, and everyone's like, wow, that's really cool. But they like, I had no idea. I had no idea that that many people quilted. And that it's such a big deal. I'm like, oh yeah. And so it made me think, it's like, why? Why does it always come to as such a surprise that not only do people make quilts at all, but that a lot of people do? And, you know, some of the ideas that I'm sort of exploring are, you know, one, I think it's because, one, it's a woman's culture. And, you know, and I thought, you know, and I resisted that idea because it feels kind of knee-jerk and easy. But then I started imagining, what if instead of 16 million women making quilts, it was 16 million men? What if one in every 20 men made quilts? I'm like, you know, it would be a huge big deal. It would be like Sports Illustrated would cover it like a sport. It really, that's a lot of people. And I really do think that. I think that people would pay a lot more attention to it than they do now. I just do. And that maybe have something to do with men being sometimes maybe a little show-offy. That's one of the things I really like about men, actually. I don't mind a man who struts around a little bit. That's a good thing, within reason. But, you know, so I do. I I'm telling the truth. Anyway, so I think that's part of it. It's just like, but it's women's culture. It's traditional women's culture. It's traditional culture as practice, you know, that's traditionally a woman's thing and a domestic thing. And I we don't particularly value the domestic in our culture. I also think that one of the reasons that quilting in some ways is invisible is people don't believe in it. It's like magic. Because, you know, most people nowadays, they can't thread a needle, right? People can't sew. I mean, women can't sew. It's a major crisis if a button comes off for a lot of people because they don't have needle and thread around. They don't know how to use it. They don't, you know, on and on. So, And people, I don't know if you've had this experience. I don't want to, you know, quilting is not easy, except that some quilting is fairly easy. I mean, making these donation quilts, you know, it helps that I've been quilting a long time. And so there are no, you know, it's like the idea, you know, I'm very familiar with a quarter inch seam. I know how to, you know, I know how to chunk. So all of that, it's all, you know, at this point, it's familiar in a way that there are a lot of things I don't think twice about that if I had never made a quilt, I'd be like, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? But really, you know, I mark all the squares. I mark the quarter inch seams. I just, you know, maybe if I keep hand stitching for long enough, I will be able to stitch in a straight line without the help of a pencil mark. But right now I can't. You know, and it's really just putting that needle up and down, up and down. I mean, I know how now to put mini stitches on my needle and then pull the thread through and all of that. But it's a fairly simple process that really anybody could do once they kind of got practiced with using a needle and threading a needle. You know, but I think so on one level, quilting is very easy if you're just sewing together squares of fabric. Obviously, it gets more complicated really quick, right? And it can be wildly, esoterically, crazily, anally complicated if that's what floats your boat. What did Daisy say in her podcast the other day? Whatever floats your boat, as long as it don't sink mine. I really like that. I'm getting a tattoo that says that. No, I'm not. Any event. So, yeah. So there are different levels of quilting. I think people who don't quilt assume that any level is very difficult when that's not true. But because people don't have sewing skills, they assume that it's difficult to sew. They look at quilts and think of quilts as having many, many pieces, which most quilts do, and just it looks very complicated. You know, and if you think back to the days before you started quilting, say if you're like me and you started quilting as an adult, You know, first of all, that's a way to make yourself realize how invisible the quilting world is, unless you had it, you know, people in your family quilted. But otherwise, you know, my mom started making quilts, I don't know, maybe 5 years before I did. And certainly she sewed, and she sewed a lot of my clothes growing up. But yeah, so I had no connection to quilt culture before I started quilting. And of course, quilt culture really changed about, you know, really about the time that I started quilting. There certainly were podcasts. There were a few, many of which have gone now, sadly. But, you know, that was just real, you know, that's when modern quilting was coming online, literally, figuratively, but on the internet. So that has changed quilt culture and quilt community. Yeah, but anyway, but all that was invisible to me, and I think it's still invisible to people who are not familiar with it at all, not familiar with quilting at all. So, but also, before you know how to read a quilt, you know, I love looking at quilts now and just trying to figure out how a block, you know, quilts with blocks, how a block is put together, how a particular, you know, is looking for where the half square, you know, where the half square triangles, where the, you know, breaking it down. Breaking a block down into its pieces is interesting to me. But before I started quilting, I had no idea. I had no idea how a block was constructed. I don't even know if I read a quilt in blocks, right? But certainly breaking down a traditional block into its pieces was impossible. So I think that's another thing. People look at quilts and they look impossibly complicated. Whereas once you start making, and again, we're talking about traditional quilts and traditional blocks, you understand the construction. You understand its triangles and squares, right? In some form or another. So, but because of that, I think people think quilts are so hard to make and so complicated, it is surprising to them that anyone in this day and age, particularly when you can buy one at Target, and in that way, I would use the term quilt very, very lightly and loosely, you know, the idea that you would go do that at home and have the ability, I think is really beyond a lot of people's imagination. So, you know, and the other thing, I think one of the reasons, like, why quilts in some ways are invisible in quilters is because quilting exists primarily in a gift economy. We give our quilts away. We don't put dollar values on quilts. And partly, I don't know any quilters who are really inclined to sell their quilts. It's kind of not why we do it. And that adds, once you get into the business side, it adds levels of stress that most of us are trying to get away from when we make quilts. But but you know, if you did, and I know people have been in the situation where it's like, okay, would you, you know, you get commissioned to make a quilt. And if you're really honest about how much the materials cost, how much your time is worth, yeah, as we know, we've discussed before on this podcast, it's a really expensive endeavor. And a queen size quilt really, you know, should cost $800 to $1,000, and you know, and who wants to get into that, right? You know, so in any event, so we give our quilts away. We give, every time we give someone a quilt, it's basically like, here, have $500 worth of quilt, you know. And nobody, that's so crass. We don't think of it in those terms. I don't. I mean, do you, when you get someone a quilt, think, yeah, that took me 30 hours and $150, $200 worth of fabric and notions and what have you, and therefore that quilt is worth X number of dollars? I've never done that, because that's just not what it's about. But, you know, we live in a culture where we, a lot of people are really about expensive stuff, whether it's expensive shoes, you know, we fetishize it. Right? I mean, these shoes, whether they're athletic shoes or high-heeled shoes, right? Manolo Blahnik shoes, you know, I don't think I just said that right, but I'm not going back to correct it. But whatever, right? Cars, and we, you know, you have status, the more expensive your stuff is. We just do. We measure out things in dollars. The more something is worth, the more we value, you know, it's dollar worth. The more someone is willing to pay for something, the more it's worth, the more status is achieved, on and on and on. So we are in this gift economy where we don't assign dollar value. So, you know, and then it's just like, well, huh. I don't think people know how to deal with that. It's like, well, if you can't say how much it's worth, then it must not be worth much. Now, I think quilts, again, in our community, they're worth a lot. And I think when we give quilts to Muggles, the Muggles, they're worth a lot to the Muggles, too. I don't think the Muggles are going, well, this didn't cost me anything. I mean, I'm sure actually there are probably some people who do that. But I think most people are like, this is amazing. You did this rocket science. You made this quilt, right? And you gave it to me. I think people are very appreciative of quilts. But that's a different thing. But it's kind of in the larger culture. We're making stuff that we don't sell. So how does it have value? Those are some of my thoughts. And I've been working on them. And I will polish them up. And probably by the time you listen to this, I will have posted a blog post. And we'll be trying to think of my next blog post. I have all sorts of things to write about. It's very fun. I love writing essays. So, you know, as long as I'm here, I guess I'm... I guess it's possible that I will talk again. Maybe I will. You know what? I'm not going to end this here. If I don't have anything more to say before Monday when I post this, I'll at least come on and say thanks to everybody who commented. But let's assume I may have a little bit more to say tomorrow or Monday because I might actually have finished something by then. So I will just end this here and I will talk to you again, if only briefly, soon. Quilt Diary Day... No, I don't remember. Is it 3? Is it 4? I think it's 3. Anyway, last day, because this is the day I'm actually posting this. It's Monday, March 14th. It's Pi Day. Yay! And I want to end up just by thanking everyone who's commented. I got a comment on this last episode from Lori in Massachusetts asking me to double-check my link on the Podbean site to my blog, and I will do that. I haven't done it yet. I just came over and checked. I don't often get comments over here, and so every once in a while I go just to make sure that there aren't any, and then I find some, and I feel badly because a few weeks ago there was one from, I think it was Laura. Yes, Laura. So, thanks that in episode 183, I may have come across a plot idea for my next book, Quilt Show Controversy. And yes. I remember, though, it reminds me, you know, when I was looking into the whole AQS publishing deal and reading about their guidelines, there's something about no big fires at the quilt show. It's like, one, like, please, we don't want to see anything about people getting shot or things getting set on fire or quilts being destroyed at the quilt show. And but that's different from controversy at the quilt show. A friend of mine sent me a message on Instagram, and it was linking me to Melissa Averino's Instagram, and she just posted something, and it was very sad, just about how she can't read anymore about the Best of Show Controversy, good or bad. And it sounds like, you know, it's like she strikes me as a very sensitive soul, so I could imagine that is true, that at some point it's just overwhelming. And I say bless her heart. Let's see. So now I want to go. So those were the comments that I have gotten recently over at Podbean. But if you can, as a general rule, post at the offkilterquilt.com site. That would be fabulous. And I want to go over there right now and say thanks to everyone who commented on episode 184. Now, both Noni and Sherry, Sherry D, I think, in response to Noni said that they really liked the piano border on the VFW Star quilt, and they thought that black binding would look best. And Noni said that, Sherry agreed, and the only thing about that is the quilt back, the main background color is actually navy blue, but I think it may read black in the photograph. So I'm assuming that's what you're saying, that I should match it with that background, which I kind of like the idea of. That may really work. There were other suggestions as well that seemed fun, and I may have to play around with it a little bit. I got a couple nice comments for Krista, who likes my voice. Thank you. And, you know, Jay said something in her comment that came in yesterday or today about just how great it is that Krista, who's, you know, kind of a big deal, right? With her quilting books, and she is now doing a book with Angela Walters, and it's just like, and people know who she is, and she teaches at all these big shows, and she's a twilter, and she just kind of hangs out with us. It's very cool. I'm a very big fan. Let's see. I heard from Dorothy, who she thought that she said she voted orange for the binding, which is actually an idea I liked. Heard from Sylvia, who liked the new quilt. Thank you. Heard from Andy, who was very kind and sent me a picture from a book she's done on monochrome quilts. And she has a quilt called Gray Skies, which she thought I might enjoy looking at and thinking about my Birds in the Air quilt. If you heard Travis barking in the background, that was the man just came home from work. Yay! So let me continue to thank people. I got a number of very nice comments on the Why Quilts Really Matter blog post. So thank you for those. As I said, I will not spend a lot of time going over blog post comments here, but I do very much appreciate them. Let's see. So thank you to, well, I will thank the people who commented. All right, I may not discuss, but you know what? Why not say thanks to everyone? Because I do really appreciate, like Margaret Kay and Jackie, Noni, Charlotte, and Ellen, Dorothy. Yes, all of those, all of y'all coming over and reading the blog post and then commenting. I do very much appreciate that. And I hope everyone will come and read my blog posts, which are, I'm about to post a new one, maybe either today or tomorrow, on why people don't know that we quilters are out there. And I had yet another conversation today where I was talking with a friend about the quilt novel. She's a writer, and she was very excited and actually has some really good marketing ideas. But when I told her that there were 16 million quilters here actively quilting in the U.S., she was very surprised. And it was also my sense, she has done a little quilting, but it was more hand quilting. It was my sense that she didn't really get that people make quilts on sewing machines, etc., etc. So anyway, I know I talked about that blog post, I think, just in the last quilt diary. It's weird because I did that last quilt diary on Saturday, so I'm just remembering, oh yeah, you know all about it. And I'm going to, the blog post is pretty much written, so it may be by the time you hear this, it will be up and you can go read it. And then finally, I got a great comment from Jay. She's interested in the whole functionality in modern quilts thing, and that's been a conversation between her and her friends. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the things you're talking about are wall quilts, functional quilts. And she says, you know, they don't have a function in the traditional sense of being a bed cover, but they do have functionality as art for the wall. And that brings up the point, though, that modern quilters are distancing themselves, or were, from art quilters. So now that's what one of the things I want to talk about at some point and write about is quilts as art. And I just got my new Quilters newsletter and the letter to the editors, a long letter that I need to read more closely, because on the first reading I felt a little confused by it, but it was essentially that the writer was saying she felt that quilts were art. Let's see. You know, one of the things that Jay, oh, she had a helpful hint on labels. She puts the size of the quilt on her label. She says it has come in so handy when I enter a quilt in a show, because I can just look at the label and I don't have to drag the quilt out, lay it out, move the furniture because it won't quite fit. Oh man, I've been there. Find the tape measure, etc. Very wise, very smart. And Jay thinks I should ask Thimble Pleasures to carry other solids. I feel like I have asked them about that. And, you know, I think the thing that was brought up was that just the price, that was such a good price. And but you know, the American made cotton brand is not expensive either, so I think it's a fairly comparable price. Noni posted a really interesting question in the Twilters group about solids and why did we think that was so important in modern quilts. And yeah, there are a lot of different reasons: the influence of the Amish quilts and the G's Bin quilts, and you know, abstract expressionism, these different, the sort of the very clean design of modern quilts. But I can't remember if Noni brought this up or someone else did and said, you know, also the cost. if you're a younger quilter and you don't have a lot of money, you know, $6 or $7 a yard is affordable, whereas $12 or $13 may not be. So I want to thank everybody who's took the time to write. In fact, I had several really great emails. So I got emails from Natalie in Germany, and it sounds like I am saying her name correctly, although maybe she meant I was saying it correctly when I said Natalie, but I think it's Natalie. Yes, and I heard from Lazy Daisy. She popped me a nice email. That would be Lazy Daisy from Lazy Daisy Quilts and Reads. Heard from the wonderful Emily Hinkle, who I had not heard from in a while. So good to hear from you, Emily. And she was writing me from a Civil War quilt retreat in Tennessee, and the room she was staying in was called Francis, and she sent me a picture. She also said, because I have brought up Susan Branch before, you may know Susan Branch, she's a blogger, she's an artist, she has recently been publishing some autobiographical books, the new one, which I think is called Fairy Tale Girl. It was kind of publicized as a novel, but it's not. It was very autobiographical and wonderful. So I've always just wondered, could she be that bright and cheerful and lovely and happy as she sounds? And Emily says, yes. She went to, Susan Branch had a store in California, which she has closed now. But when Emily was at an Annie Smith, Annie Smith to you, you know, my dear friend Annie Smith, one of her quilt retreats in California, they went to Susan Branch's store, and Susan came in and said hello, and she is really a happy, pleasant person, just the way she seems. So that's excellent. I'm glad there's one of us around. So anyway, thank you, Emily, for emailing, and thanks to Judy, one of our comments in her head, but not on the blog, and that's okay, because I hear you. And Judy's one of those people, she's an enabler. She says she does not mind my ramblings. She also had some input on the Quilters Academy series, which she says she finds the information in them now dated, and some of the things, for instance, I guess the author, who is it? Is it Harriet Hargrove? I want to say that it is, but I'm not sure that's true. But anyway, the author suggests ripping one's fabric to get straight on the grain, which, you know, Judy says seems crazy. It seems crazy to me too. And she said the authors are very quilt policey. And I recall that. I mean, in some ways, I get that. They're real. I remember it's like the author's very, very into precision and doing things the right way. And there is something to that, you know, but at the same time, it can be, sometimes take the fun out of it. And Judy also says that the projects seem dated, which doesn't surprise me either. So, you know, thank goodness for Craftsy and Thimble Pleasures and other places and venues to get some learning at. So anyway, thank you, Judy, for taking the time to drop me an email. It was good to hear from you. Oh, and today I heard from my dear friend Debbie, who I got to hang out with a couple years ago when she was out this way. She's a Cali girl, went to QuiltCon, had a great time, and has sent a picture, a fabulous picture, of some made of a quilt she made with made fabric. The entire background is made fabric she made by randomly sewing gray scraps together. It is a totally cool looking quilt. I don't have time to ask for permission and get permission, I think, before I put up this podcast, but I would love to show you this quilt. And Debbie, if you're listening, and if you don't mind me posting the picture, let me know, because it's really cool looking. So I am, I think I may have mentioned the last quilt. I am in this post putting up a picture of the Big Star back for the VFW Star quilt, and the colors are a little funky, but there you go. There you have it. Anyway, thank you, everyone, for taking the time to write, to email, to comment on the podcast, on the blog posts. I appreciate that. And I know that a lot of you do comment in your head, and I appreciate that as well. So anyway, okay then, I will, I'll see you next time. Week from Wednesday, expect me back right here, same bat place, same bat channel. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.